You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
The WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Tuesdays with Elliot. Everybody loves Tuesdays with Elliot Shore Parks. Brought to you by Groundworks. Don't let a weak foundation sack your home's value. Schedule a free inspection at groundworks.com. Elliot, how you feeling, buddy?
What up? How you guys doing today?
What up, BS?
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good.
Just at the NovaCare. Had the press conferences today.
Yeah. So.
NovaCare still standing?
NovaCare is still standing, yeah. There were no kids at the press conference, so we can all, you know, take a deep breath there. Deep breath
well, now. Vic Fangio's kids are probably in their 50s.
It would be a funny bit if they all brought out their kids today. Yeah. 17-year-old sitting up there playing on their phone.
Bring up his grown kid from on his lap.
I will say, Jack, you'll appreciate this. Had on a Phillies hoodie today, Vic Fangio.
No, I know. I saw.
Yeah, he had the red October Phillies hoodie.
Oh, there you go.
It's a free one. Doesn't count.
Yeah. It's true.
It's good to see his head's in the right
exactly,
place.
Exactly, yeah. He's still hurting from that one.
Well, did you... So, Elliot, let me ask you this before we get into the nitty-gritty here. Mm-hmm. We give you credit, and we've noted that you are getting the first question a lot.
Very interesting.
At press conferences, and you're asking good questions.
I appreciate that.
One must wonder, though, if they have blessed you with that first question because they know the worm is operational.
Mm-hmm. Well, look.
Ask the question the right
we'll
way.
We'll give you the right answer.
The worm voices is very good.
Nick should bring up more children.
Bring them all up, cousins. I get the whole family.
Where's the dad?
Squad
get
up there,
the dad up there.
Yeah. How many Sirianis can we put on the press conference?
Should he announce he's hiring his brother today? You think that would go well? Bring him on to the staff.
Yeah.
Help with the motion.
So do you have any defense there? How are you getting the first question?
I mean, if I'm going to be completely honest, which I heard you guys say in the first segment, you guys like to be honest, you've probably bullied me into making sure I get the first question now.
But
I log in early. Yeah.
There
you
go.
Accountability.
Right. Yeah. I can pretend I don't care about the insider of the year, but you know.
You do.
Yeah. Of course. How could I not?
So, Elliot, let's talk about Nick Sirianni.
Let's
to
do
start.
It. Good topic. No one's really been discussing
no,
them in the past 48 hours.
And I want to put aside for a second, because there seems to be, and I know we had the gentleman on. We had the gentleman on, I guess, earlier today, who Nick was jawing with in the crowd.
Yeah. Apparently.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what this guy claims.
Yes, yeah.
And this guy claims it was all in good fun or whatever. My body language, it seems that Nick maybe wasn't feeling...
Yeah, I think Nick's body language was basically like, what do you have to say now? Like,
yes.
in a playful way, for what it's worth. But I it was not fun, I guess.
Yeah, I think when you combine it with the press conference afterwards, which the tone was weird in the press conference. So, when I watch Nick Sirianni, I feel like there is a guy who is...
Talking about on Sunday?
Yes.
Or just in general?
I think in general all this year... who is sort of on the brink and is allowing all of the public conversation to affect him in a negative way. And I guess my question to you is, do you feel like you can have a healthy NFL season as a football team when the head coach is reacting that way to outside pressure?
Right. I mean, it's a great question. There's obviously a lot in there. I would say... that I think the way things are going with Nick right now in the city and the team, it's probably the healthiest for everybody just to move on. And I am one of Nick's biggest supporters. I truly do think he's a great coach. But it just feels so ugly at this point. I mean, nobody in the city is supporting this guy. And I think, to your point, is it hard in the building? I don't think it's hard in the building because I do think the players like him. And I do think Howie likes him. And I think Jeffrey likes him, although I don't know if Sunday change anything about Jeffrey's opinion. But I do think what's hard right now with Nick, and this is going to sound like the worm, but it truly isn't.
He's just too good at coach.
Yeah, he's so smart. No, well, you almost...
Great practices.
I thought you were going to say what I was going to say.
All right, sorry.
I do think one of Nick's biggest strengths and flaws is he does care a lot, right? Like, I don't think we'll ever see a coach there that is more like a Philadelphia Eagles fan than Nick. And the positive of that is... I think the players like how much he cares. I do think he has tried to connect to the city, and you see him talk to fans after wins in a positive way. Like, he'll go and do away games and, like, you know, shake everyone's hand or whatever. The negative side of that is I think it's probably really hard on Nick to go through what he's going through right now when he knows everybody is ripping him to shreds. And I don't know if it's a distraction yet, but it feels like it feels like a lot of baggage is being carried with this team, because until Nick is gone, I don't know if the fans will, like, truly embrace this team as like turning it around.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think they will. And I think he has more support out there than you give him credit for having out there. I'm not saying it's overwhelming support.
Well, you would know. I mean, you talked to, yeah.
I just think the frustrated people are the loudest people right now.
Yeah, it's probably a good point.
And it's an uphill battle for those who want to defend him. It's like, what's the point of trying to go out and defend him? How, if no one respects his win-loss record, then what else are you going to defend him about? Like, right? We all understand he's sort of handcuffed to a degree as far as what he can do, but this is the position they put him in. Mm-hmm. He accepted being in this position, so now he's trying to navigate through it.
Yeah.
And I think winning cures all that stuff. And I think it's a positive for him that his players don't mind publicly rallying behind him, right? I mean, I don't know if a city wanted to get rid of a coach more than when he brought out the Soil and Flowers speech and all that stuff in 2021, right? Because we already had the offseason pressers when he got hired, so he was already on thin ice. Then he rode that out with a 2-5 start. Everybody wanted him out of here.
Yeah.
And the players, as quirky as he may be, and they, believe me, they didn't have as much invested in him then. He had only been here for 7 weeks or a few months. They decide, you know what? Because here's why they do this. And we may not like this as fans on the outside, because we like the players. At least most of them we do. Those players are saying to themselves, that could easily be us too. They'll be dogging you, Jalen.
Yep.
AJ, they wanted you traded this offseason. Mm-hmm. Saquon, the moment you do, so, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, players will talk themselves into it's us against them. And so we had better support him, because we could easily be in that position ourselves.
I also think they're developing a little bit of a us versus them mentality, which is why, you know, you hear a lot of, well, like, how can the players respect Nick if he's acting like that? I think they liked seeing him go up to the people booing them.
Because they want to do
it. Well, that's what I'm saying.
They want to go at fans that way.
Yes, 100%. I just don't know if that's a healthy attitude to have.
Yeah, so that's, I agree with the us against everybody thing. In general, I think it can work. We've seen instances where it works.
Especially in this sport.
Yes.
Yes.
In this sport, that can work.
So physically demanding, and I agree with all those things. But the thing that you touched on there, and actually, during the Brandon Graham show yesterday, I asked Brandon about it, and Brandon is generally very positive on Nick. But what I noticed about what he was saying was that, I agree with you, it is turning into, well, if they're going to go at Nick, then we don't like them either. So it's us versus them. It's very difficult when it's us versus everybody, and the everybody is really just the city. And I don't know how healthy it is to have the entire team, and we've seen, and by the way, this is players who have already gone at fans on the internet and all that kind of stuff. All that stuff.
We know the players that get on Twitter and go back and forth.
Tweet and delete.
Nick to open the faucet on that. And one thing I asked Brandon yesterday, and I don't remember what his answer was, but I said 2 weeks prior, Nick Sirianni was trying to stop Jalen Carter from jawing. How in the world can he do that moving forward when he is doing that? So I agree that they like him, and I agree that it probably motivates them in some way. But man, I have to tell you, it better motivate them into being awesome, because
Well, he's fired regardless, right?
Well,
I'm asking, we're not going to, like, people aren't going to accept a mediocre record.
For sure.
So he has to be this way regardless.
Well, and
meaning that he has to be this good as a coach for people to embrace him. They wanted him gone after winning 11 games last year.
Well, I think, and you brought up 2021, which I think is a good point, that they have kind of overcome this already, right? But I think a difference in 2021 is the expectations were so much lower.
Like, I agree.
Right. So I think this year it'll be harder, A, because they're just an average team. But B, like, it's going to be hard for Nick and this team to meet expectations where people go, okay, you know what? Maybe you're not bad. Whereas in 2021, just making the playoffs was, you know what? All right. Like, maybe this guy isn't all bad.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not telling you it's the best formula, but what do you want them to do? Like, what do you want them to do? Just sit there and take it every week? Like, take it every time? Like, we talk about what these players say, but we bring the question to the players. We're asking them every week about their relationship with the coach and do you like him and everything else. That's being brought to the players. So all I'm saying is when you're on that team and you're in that locker room, they're not separating each other saying, we're playing good, but you guys stink over there. We're playing good, but you're a terrible head coach. They're in this thing together, at least for right now they are. So they got a better chance of overcoming this. And obviously they have to play better. But if they have a singular focus, and I'm not saying you need to go up to fans and fight with fans or this and the other. Matter of fact, Nick shouldn't have another episode like he had Sunday the rest of the year. That's not, I'm not saying the formula is go out every week arguing with your fans. No, he shouldn't be doing that. What I'm saying is that athletes are so unique that they can take the smallest things as far as motivation and rally around it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to lead to a Super Bowl. I have no idea. But we act like this season is headed for 4 or 5 wins. Like, we don't act like a team that this team is, we're headed to win 10 or 11 games and you would be happy. So it's, if they aren't going to win 12, 13, 14 games, get to the Super Bowl, then they must be a 4 or 5 win team.
So what's
and I don't think they don't want that to be who they are, because when you're 4 and 5, coach get fired, players get cut, get moved, and everything else.
Well, so we were talking to Landon about this last night on the Players Lounge after the Brandon Graham show, and like I actually came away from that game once the emotion of Sunday was gone, and you just watched it. I think they played better than they're being given credit for. And I think that's the real issue at the heart of what Nick did.
I said that.
Is it's completely overshadowed the fact that it was, I mean, arguably their best game of the season. Certainly the opponent plays into it. But just in terms of how Jalen took care of the ball, how he did against the blitz, against a good blitzing team for what it's worth. The team's not great, but they are a good blitzing team. The defense didn't give up a single touchdown. I thought they tackled better. It was not the step in the direction where we could all say, you know what, they're back. They won by 20 points, whatever. But it still was a step in the right direction. What hurt them is because of what Nick did after the game, it feels like such an ugly game. And that's truly the issue with what Nick did, in my opinion. I don't think jawing back at the fans, I don't think it makes him a reckless, bad coach. But what it did is it just completely shifted everything from what I think could have been viewed as a positive win.
I totally agree. His actions, and that's what he should have been called in and reprimanded for.
We won the game and you made it about you.
And you made it about you.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he should have been called in and reprimanded.
Because the other thing that stood out to me on Sunday, live.
We can't, to your point, Elliot, we can't talk about the things that they did improve upon and things that they did well, because nobody wants to hear about that because of what he did after the game.
Well, and they're also at a point where because Jalen starts 0-for-5, and I think people are already so upset about them starting 0-for-5 that it overshadows the fact that he did improve as the game went on. And I think my biggest concern with the team right now, and why I say, you know, maybe it just won't get fixed until there's a big change, is there feels to be so much baggage and anger with this team that is going to be hard to overcome from a public perception.
Well, and
yeah, I
would like to ask, by the way, this is for you listening. Can Nick win you over? That is really my question. Is are you open to? And it hit my mind when I was having a conversation with a gentleman at Chickie's yesterday, who he wanted to ask me about Embiid, and I could just tell no matter what I said, he was going to be like, nope, never going to happen, never going to happen. And we hear it when we talk to Mike Lombardi. We hear it when we talk to the people who have decided that they're out. Are out and are never coming back. And I'm curious whether Sirianni is at a place where if they do win 11 games and win a playoff game, if they are going to be back in on him, is that something they could do? So 215-592-9494.
Well, it's funny because last night I'm leaving the Players Lounge show and I called my mom driving home just to vent about I thought people were being unfair towards Nick. And she's like, yeah, I'm out on him as well. And I'm like, wow. Like,
your mom?
Yeah. So to your point, it does feel like Sunday really turned a lot of people on him.
Not good.
Yeah. Not good.
Yeah.
It wasn't. And
it was unnecessary, by the way.
Yes. Well, you didn't need let's put the drawing with the fans thing to the side. The press conference was unnecessarily combative. And,
well,
and
can I give a quick thought on the press conference?
Yeah.
So being there, right? So I go from the press box downstairs, and obviously being online, but also just you could feel the ugliness. Like people were really mad already, and the video was starting to go viral.
Yep.
When Nick came in to me, it felt like he was either unaware or in somewhat denial slash wanting to prove a point about being overly positive. Like it seemed like a different world he was living on up at that podium, right? Like he was smiling. He had the kids, which I know upset people. He was talking about, you know, just like how it's hard to win in the NFL and he knows they have to play better, but he just seemed in a different world. And I think that adds to what people have been saying, like, you know, is he handling this job well?
And I'm sorry, before we get to the call, the last thing, and I've said this 100 times, I do blame the position he's put in on Howie and Jeffrey.
Yes.
And yeah. They gave him a no-win situation. We said this from the very beginning. You remember a show we did before the season started. I made people promise. I said, I want you to take the pledge. If the Eagles are bad, I know you're going to blame Nick Sirianni.
I remember the show.
If yep. they are good, will you agree to give him credit? And everybody said no. And I don't think that is just a function of Nick. I think it is a function of the way the offseason went and the way that his job was presented put him in a position where everyone would give Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio credit and the players, but not Nick. But if things, we saw it in week 1. Week 1, we saw as soon as something went wrong, oh, Nick must have called that play.
Well, and the other thing too now is like, well, it doesn't look like Kellen Moore's offense. Or where I think Nick is not helping himself is by going, I called this play, or this one was actually me. Like,
yeah.
it muddies the water in a conversation that's already not a good one for him of what do you do?
Yep. Scott in Newtown, you're on WIP. What's up, Scott?
What up, guys? Elliot, man, I like what you had to say. I was at the game. I was row 3 right at the tunnel, man. And, like, at the halftime when the guys came in, like, the fans were just so vicious at the guys, you know, just, like crazy. So, like, what I saw was, like, they came out and they still brought the energy after the half. And, like, you know, I'm watching it all. And I'm, like, amazed how vicious the fans are because I didn't think it was such a bad half. Like, I thought there were some – the start was, like, depressing. You know what I mean? But, like, it wasn't awful. It was no reason to be so furious.
Well, Scott, to your point –
like, screaming this.
Yeah, to your point, though, I do think people are just at a point with this team. And, Spike, I think the way you put it is true. Like, people are so mad at Nick and the team, they almost need perfection to feel as if things are going in the right direction.
Yeah.
You know, like, exactly. So, like Jalen starts 0-for-5, and all my texts from people are like, you know, this guy's struggling. Everything on Twitter, like, he's so – he did actually play, I thought, a really good game, but because the beginning was so bad, I think everyone's already so angry and ready to jump on them that it overshadows the positive.
Well, and this is a partially a hangover from last year. It just
sure.
is.
Yeah, of course it is. Yes.
People want to feel like it's gone,
right.
And they just don't feel like
well,
it's gone.
And to be fair, the Eagles haven't really given them a whole lot.
No, I mean, the one thing that we were promised this year was a dynamic offense that would score a lot of points. And we did have moments week 1. We absolutely had moments, but since
I will say, in the 2 games they've had everyone, they averaged 27 points. So I do think you have to at least factor, if we're going to say they have all these weapons, you have to at least acknowledge AJ hasn't been there for 3, and he's their best.
And that matters,
He's their best weapon by far.
Yes.
So. But no, I mean, and you know, to your point about the baggage from last year, I heard your guys open about the Phillies and we don't have to get deep down into that path. But the one thing I don't think the Phillies are taking into account if they do run it back or bringing Topper back is it's going to be ugly. Like we're living it right
quickly.
Now. Living it with
right, you don't get the, the long rope.
Right. No. Like maybe Topper is a great manager. Maybe that this team can do it because they almost did it before. It's just you got to be really, really good quickly. Otherwise, people are going to continue the anger from this past year.
And by the way, 27 points a game would put the Eagles 9th.
So yeah. I'm not saying it's great.
So, but that's I just want to give you fan perspective.
But can I ask you a question?
Fan perspective is like we wanted to see a dynamic offense, and for the large part of the season, they have not seen it at all.
But how many teams? Like, where would you rank Jalen? Quickly in the quarterback, like I don't, where'd you have him? 9, 10, 11,
15.
Okay. How many teams do you think are above where they are in points per game to where you would have the quarterback. So while we can talk about them having all these weapons, you can't on one hand go, they should be averaging 30 points a game, and then also go, but the quarterback actually isn't maybe not that good. Like, well, that matters.
I'm just telling you from
no, I get it.
But
yeah.
What I can tell you this, I think it's quarterback's fault. I mean, yeah. Largely. But and that's just me. That's what I'm saying. But I'm talking about from a fan perspective about why they are frustrated
yes.
watching the team is that they don't feel like last year is gone. And I think a large part of that is the offense and the face of that, whether it's deserved or not deserved. I think it's largely not deserved.
Is Nick. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. 215-592-9494. We will play. They did ask Vic Fangio today. Did Nick Sirianni overrule you? We will play that. And Kellen Moore, which is a... Can you imagine what was going on?
And, and Vic, and obviously not to tease answer too much, but was very honest.
Yes, was very honest about it.
Yeah.
And Kellen Moore was asked why Jalen Hurts is not playing under center more often. We will play that both for you next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fred.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Tuesdays with Elliot. Everybody loves Tuesdays with Elliot Shore Parks. Brought to you by Groundworks. Don't let a weak foundation sack your home's value. Schedule a free inspection at groundworks.com. Elliot, how you feeling, buddy?
What up? How you guys doing today?
What up, BS?
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good.
Just at the NovaCare. Had the press conferences today.
Yeah. So.
NovaCare still standing?
NovaCare is still standing.
Good.
Yeah. There were no kids at the press conference, so we can all, you know... Take a deep breath.
Well, now. Vic Fangio's kids are probably in their 50s.
It would be a funny bit if they all brought out their kids today. 17-year-old sitting up there playing on their phone. Yeah.
Bring up his grown kid on his lap.
I will say, Jack, you'll appreciate this. Had on a Phillies hoodie today, Vic Fangio.
No, I know. I saw.
Yeah, he had the red October Phillies hoodie.
Oh, there you go.
That's a free one. Doesn't count.
Yeah, it's true.
It's good to see his head's in the right
exactly,
place.
Exactly, yeah. He's still hurting from that one.
Well, did you... So, Elliot, let me ask you this before we get into the nitty-gritty here. Mm-hmm. We give you credit, and we've noted that you are getting the first question a lot.
Very interesting.
At press conferences, and you're asking good questions.
I appreciate that.
One must wonder, though... if they have blessed you with that first question because they know the worm is operational.
Mm-hmm. Well, look.
Ask the question the right
we'll
way.
Give you the right answer.
The worm voices
Nick,
is very
it.
Good.
Nick should
I'll give
bring
you that.
Up more children.
Bring them all up. Cousins, I get the whole family.
Where's
we'll
the dad?
Squad
get
up
the
there,
dad
yeah.
up there.
Yeah. How many Sirianis can we put on the press conference?
Should he announce he's hiring his brother today? You think that would go well? Bring him on to the staff.
Yeah.
Help with the motion.
So do you have any defense there? How are you getting the first question?
I mean, if I'm going to be completely honest, which I heard you guys say in the first segment, you guys like to be honest, you've probably bullied me into making sure I get the first question
now.
I log in early. Yeah.
There
so,
you
yeah.
go.
Accountability.
Right. Yeah. I can pretend I don't care about the inside of the year, but you know.
You do.
Yeah. Of course. How could I not?
So, Elliot, let's talk about Nick Sirianni.
Let's
to
do
start.
It. Good topic. No one's really been discussing
no,
in the past 48 hours.
And I want to put aside for a second because there seems to be, and I know we had the gentleman on. We had the gentleman on, I guess, earlier today who Nick was jawing with in the crowd.
Yeah. Apparently.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what this guy claims.
Yes, yeah.
And this guy claims it was all in good fun or whatever. My body language, it seems that Nick maybe wasn't feeling...
Yeah, I think Nick's body language was basically like, what do you have to say now? Like,
yes.
in a playful way, for what it's worth. But it was not fun, I guess.
Yeah, I think when you combine it with the press conference afterwards, which the tone was weird in the press conference. So, when I watch Nick Sirianni, I feel like there is a guy who is...
Talking about on Sunday?
Yes.
Just in general?
I think in general all this year... who is sort of on the brink and is allowing all of the public conversation to affect him in a negative way. And I guess my question to you is, do you feel like you can have a healthy NFL season as a football team when the head coach is reacting that way to outside pressure?
Right. I mean, it's a great question. There's obviously a lot in there. I would say that I think the way things are going with Nick right now in the city and the team, it's probably the healthiest for everybody just to move on. And I am one of Nick's biggest supporters. I truly do think he's a great coach. But it just feels so ugly at this point. I mean, nobody in the city is supporting this guy. And I think to your point, is it hard in the building? I don't think it's hard in the building because I do think the players like him. And I do think Howie likes him. And I think Jeffrey likes him, although I don't know if Sunday changed anything about Jeffrey's opinion. But I do think what's hard right now with Nick, and this is going to sound like the worm, but it truly isn't.
He's just too good at coach.
Yeah, he's okay. So smart. No, well, you almost
great practices.
I thought you were going to say what I was going to say.
All right, sorry.
I do think one of Nick's biggest strengths and flaws is he does care a lot, right? Like, I don't think we'll ever see a coach there that is more like a Philadelphia Eagles fan than Nick. And the positive of that is I think the players like how much he cares. I do think he has tried to connect to the city, and you see him talk to fans after wins in a positive way. Like, he'll go and do away games and, like, you know, shake everyone's hand or whatever. The negative side of that is I think it's probably really hard on Nick to go through what he's going through right now when he knows everybody is ripping him to shreds. And I don't know if it's a distraction yet, but it feels like a lot of baggage is being carried with this team, because until Nick is gone, I don't know if the fans will, like, truly embrace this team as like turning it around.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think they will. And I think he has more support out there than you give him credit for having out there. I'm not saying it's overwhelming support.
Well, you would know. I mean, you talked it, yeah.
I just think the frustrated people are the loudest people right now.
Yeah, it's probably a good point.
And it's an uphill battle for those who want to defend him. It's like, what's the point of trying to go out and defend him? How, if no one respects his win-loss record, then what else are you going to defend him about? Like, right? We all understand he's sort of handcuffed to a degree as far as what he can do, but this is the position they put him in. Mm-hmm. He accepted being in this position, so now he's trying to navigate through it.
Yeah.
And I think winning cures all that stuff. And I think it's a positive for him that his players don't mind publicly rallying behind him. Right? I mean, I don't know if a city wanted to get rid of a coach more than when he brought out the Soil and Flowers speech and all that stuff in 2021, right? Because we already had the offseason pressers when he got hired, so he was already on thin ice. Then he rode that out with a 2-5 start. Everybody wanted him out of here.
Yeah.
And the players, as quirky as he may be, and they, believe me, they didn't have as much invested in him then. He had only been here for 7 weeks or a few months. They decide, you know what? Because here's why they do this. And we may not like this as fans on the outside, because we like the players. At least most of them we do. Those players are saying to themselves, that could easily be us too. They'll be dogging you, Jalen.
Yep.
AJ, they wanted you traded this offseason. Mm-hmm. Saquon, the moment you do. So, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, players will talk themselves into it's us against them. And so we had better support him because we could easily be in that position ourselves.
I also think they're developing a little bit of a us versus them mentality, which is why, you know, you hear a lot of, well, like, how can the players respect Nick if he's acting like that? I think they liked seeing him go up to the people booing them.
Because they want to do
it. Well, that's what
they
I'm saying.
They want to go at fans that way.
Yes, 100%. I just don't know if that's a healthy attitude to have.
Yeah, so that's, I agree with the us against everybody thing. In general, I think it can work. We've seen instances where it works.
Especially in this sport.
Yes.
Yes.
In this sport, that can work.
So physically demanding, and I agree with all those things. But the thing that you touched on there, and actually, during the Brandon Graham show yesterday, I asked Brandon about it, and Brandon is generally very positive on Nick. But what I noticed about what he was saying was that I agree with you. It is turning into, well, if they're going to go at Nick, then we don't like them either. So it's us versus them. It's very difficult when it's us versus everybody, and the everybody is really just the city. And I don't know how healthy it is to have the entire team, and we've seen, and by the way, this is players who have already gone at fans and the internet
sure,
and all that kind
it.
Of stuff.
Yes,
all that stuff.
For, yeah, we know the players that get on Twitter and go back and forth.
Tweet and delete.
Nick to open the faucet on that. And one thing I asked Brandon yesterday, and I don't remember what his answer was, but I said 2 weeks prior, Nick Sirianni was trying to stop Jalen Carter from jawing. Mm-hmm. How in the world can he do that moving forward when he is doing that? So I agree that they like him, and I agree that it probably motivates them in some way. But man, I have to tell you, it better motivate them into being awesome, because the
well, he's fired regardless, right?
Well,
so while I'm asking, we're not going to, like, people aren't going to accept a mediocre record.
For sure.
So he has to be this way regardless.
Well, and
meaning that he has to be this good as a coach for people to embrace him. They wanted him gone after winning 11 games last year.
Well, I think, and you brought up 2021, which I think is a good point, that they have kind of overcome this already, right? Mm-hmm. But I think a difference in 2021 is the expectations were so much lower.
Like, I agree.
Right. So I think this year it'll be harder, A, because they're just an average team, but B, like, it's going to be hard for Nick and this team to meet expectations where people go, okay, you know what, maybe you're not bad. Whereas in 2021, just making the playoffs was, you know what, all right, like, maybe this guy isn't all bad.
Yeah, listen, I'm not telling you it's the best formula, but what do you want them to do? Like, what do you want them to do? Just sit there and take it every week? Like, take it every time? Like, we talk about what these players say, but we bring the question to the players. We're asking them every week about their relationship with the coach, and do you like him and everything else. That's being brought to the players. So all I'm saying is, when you're on that team and you're in that locker room, they're not separating each other saying, we're playing good, but you guys stink over there. We're playing good, but you're a terrible head coach. They're in this thing together, at least for right now they are. So they got a better chance of overcoming this. And obviously they have to play better. But if they have a singular focus, and I'm not saying you need to go up to fans and fight with fans or this and that. Matter of fact, Nick shouldn't have another episode like he had Sunday the rest of the year. That's not, I'm not saying the formula is go out every week arguing with your fans. No, he shouldn't be doing that. What I'm saying is that athletes are so unique that they can take the smallest things as far as motivation and rally around it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to lead to a Super Bowl. I have no idea. But we act like this season is headed for 4 or 5 wins. Like, we don't act like a team that this team is, we're headed to win 10 or 11 games and you would be happy. So it's, if they aren't going to win 12, 13, 14 games, get to the Super Bowl, then they must be a 4 or 5 win team.
So what's,
and I don't think they don't want that to be who they are, because when you're 4 and 5, coach get fired, players get cut, get moved, and everything else.
Well, so we were talking to Landon about this last night on the Players Lounge after the Brandon Graham show, and like, I actually came away from that game once the emotion of Sunday was gone, and you just watched it. I think they played better than they're being given credit for. And I think that's the real issue at the heart of what Nick did.
I said that.
Is it's completely overshadowed the fact that it was, I mean, arguably their best game of the season. Certainly the opponent plays into it. But just in terms of how Jalen took care of the ball, how he did against the blitz, against a good blitzing team for what it's worth. The team's not great, but they are a good blitzing team. The defense didn't give up a single touchdown. I thought they tackled better. It was not the step in the direction where we could all say, you know what, they're back. They won by 20 points, whatever. But it still was a step in the right direction. What hurt them is because of what Nick did after the game, it feels like such an ugly game. And that's truly the issue with what Nick did, in my opinion. I don't think jawing back at the fans, like, I don't think it makes him a reckless, bad coach. But what it did is it just completely shifted everything from what I think could have been viewed as a positive win.
I totally agree. His actions, and that's what he should have been called in and reprimanded for.
We won the game and you made it about you.
And you made it about you.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he should have been called in and reprimanded.
Because the other thing that stood out to me on Sunday, live.
We can't, to your point, Elliot, we can't talk about the things that they did improve upon and things that they did well, because nobody wants to hear about that because of what he did after the game.
Well, and they're also at a point where because Jalen starts 0-for-5, and I think people are already so upset about them starting 0-for-5 that it overshadows the fact that he did improve as the game went on. And I think my biggest concern with the team right now, and why I say, you know, maybe it just won't get fixed until there's a big change, is there feels to be so much baggage and anger with this team that is going to be hard to overcome from a public perception.
Well, and
yeah,
so
I
would like to ask, by the way, this is for you listening. Can Nick win you over? That is really my question. Is are you open to, and it hit my mind when I was having a conversation with a gentleman at Chickie's yesterday who he wanted to ask me about Embiid. And I could just tell no matter what I said, he was going to be like, nope, never going to happen. Never going to happen. And we hear it when we talk to Mike Lombardi. We hear it when we talk to the people who have decided that they're out are out and are never coming back. And I'm curious whether Sirianni is at a place where if they do win 11 games and win a playoff game, if they are going to be back in on him, is that something they could do? So 215-592-9494.
Well, it's funny because last night I'm leaving the Players Lounge show and I called my mom driving home just to vent about I thought people were being unfair towards Nick. And she's like, yeah, I'm out on him as well. And I'm like, wow. Like,
your mom?
Yeah. Like, so to your point, it does feel like Sunday really turned a lot of people on him.
Not good.
Yeah. Not good.
Yeah,
it
not
was,
good.
It wasn't. And that's
and it
why,
was unnecessary, by the way.
Yes. Well, you didn't need... Let's put the drawing with the fans thing to the side. The press conference was unnecessarily combative. And
can I give a quick thought on the press conference?
Yeah.
So, being there, right? So, I go from the press box downstairs, and obviously being online, but also just... You could feel the ugliness. Like, people were really mad already, and the video was starting to go viral.
Yep.
When Nick came in to me, it felt like he was either unaware or in somewhat denial slash wanting to prove a point about being overly positive. Like, it seemed like a different world he was living on up at that podium, right? Like, he was smiling. He had the kids, which I know upset people. He was talking about, you know, just like how it's hard to win in the NFL, and he knows they have to play better, but he just seemed in a different world. And I think that adds to what people have been saying, like you know, is he handling this job well?
And I'm sorry, before we get to the call, the last thing, and I've said this 100 times, I do blame the position he's put in on Howie and Jeffrey.
Yes.
And they gave him a no-win situation. We said this from the very beginning. You remember a show we did before the season started. I made people promise. I said, I want you to take the pledge. If the Eagles are bad, I know you're going to blame Nick Sirianni.
I remember the show.
If they are good, will you agree to give him credit? And everybody said no, and I don't think that is just a function of Nick. I think it is a function of the way the offseason went and the way that his job was presented put him in a position where everyone would give Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio credit and the players, but not Nick. But if things, we saw it in week one. Week one we saw, as soon as something went wrong, oh, Nick must have called that play.
Well, and the other thing too now is like, well, it doesn't look like Kellen Moore's offense, or where I think Nick is not helping himself is by going, I called this play, or this one was actually me. Like, it muddies the water in a conversation that's already not a good one for him of what do you do?
Yep. Scott in Newtown, you're on WIP. What's up, Scott?
What up, guys? Elliot, man, I like what you had to say. I was at the game. I was row 3 right at the tunnel, man. And, like, at the halftime when the guys came in, like, the fans were just so vicious at the guys, you know, just, like crazy. So, like, what I saw was, like, they came out and they still brought the energy after the half. And, like, you know, I'm watching it all. And I'm, like, amazed how vicious the fans are, because I didn't think it was such a bad half. Like, I thought there were some – the start was, like, depressing. You know what I mean? But, like, it wasn't awful. It was no reason to be so furious.
Well, Scott, to your point –
like, screaming this.
Yeah, to your point, though, I do think people are just at a point with this team. And, Spike, I think the way you put it is true. Like, people are so mad at Nick and the team – They almost need perfection to feel as if things are going in the right direction.
Yeah.
You know, like, exactly. So, like Jalen starts 0-for-5, and all my texts from people are like, you know, this guy's struggling. Everything on Twitter, like, he did actually play, I thought, a really good game, but because the beginning was so bad, I think everyone's already so angry and ready to jump on them that it overshadows the positive.
Well, and this is a partially a hangover from last year. It just is.
Yeah, of course it is. Yes.
People want to feel like it's gone, right, and they just don't feel like it's gone.
And to be fair, the Eagles haven't really given them a whole lot.
No, I mean, the one thing that we were promised this year was a dynamic offense that would score a lot of points. And we did have moments week one. We absolutely had moments, but since
That's
then.
It.
Now, I will say, in the two games they've had everyone, they averaged 27 points. Not like so. I do think it. You have to at least factor. If we're going to say they have all these weapons, you have to at least acknowledge AJ hasn't been there for three, and he's their best.
And that matters.
He's their best weapon by far.
Yes.
So, but no, I mean, and you know, to your point about the baggage from last year, I heard your guys open about the Phillies, and we don't have to get deep down into that path. But the one thing I don't think the Phillies are taking into account if they do run it back or bringing Topper back is it's going to be ugly. Like, we're living it right
quickly.
Now. With the, exactly.
Yeah.
We're living it with
you don't get the the long rope.
Right. No. Like maybe Topper is a great manager. Maybe that this team can do it because they almost did it before. It's just you got to be really, really good quickly. Otherwise, people are going to continue the anger from this past year.
And by the way, 27 points a game would put the Eagles ninth.
So yeah. I'm not saying it's great.
So,
but
that's I just want to give you fan perspective.
But can I ask you a question?
Fan perspective is like we wanted to see a dynamic offense, and for the large part of the season, they have not seen it at all.
But how many teams? Like, where would you rank Jalen quickly in the quarterback? Like, I don't. Where'd you have him? 9, 10, 11,
15.
Okay. How many teams do you think are above where they are in points per game to where you would have the quarterback? So while we can talk about them having all these weapons, you can't on one hand go, they should be averaging 30 points a game, and then also go, but the quarterback actually isn't maybe not that good. Like, well, that matters.
I'm just telling you from
I get it.
But what I can tell you this, I think it's quarterback's fault. I mean, largely. But and that's just me. That's what I'm saying. But I'm talking about from a fan perspective about why they are frustrated watching the team is that they don't feel like last year is gone. And I think a large part of that is the offense and the face of that, whether it's deserved or not deserved. I think it's largely not deserved.
Is Nick.
Yeah. All right. 215-592-9494. We will play. They did ask Vic Fangio today. Did Nick Sirianni overrule you? We will play that. And Kellen Moore, which is a... Can you imagine what was going on?
And Vic, and obviously not to tease the answer too much, but was very honest.
Yes, he was very honest about it.
Yeah.
And Kellen Moore was asked why Jalen Hurts is not playing under center more often. We will play that both for you next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app